Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome, welcome to Off the Rails. Did we do the show last week? I think we did.
We did.
It just feels like it's only once a week. It feels like it's so infrequent. I feel awkward. It takes me a second to warm up again.
Me and Bubba were talking the other morning, and he mentioned me and him have to do something after a show one of these few days.
Yeah.
And he said, "How about Monday?" And he goes, no, we can't do it Monday because you have the Rails show. And I said, "No, Monday is the podcast." He goes, no, it's Monday and Fridays is the rail show." This was like a day or two ago he said this.
Is he pilled up?
I hope not. It was before the show. Well, who knows?
Yeah, at any given moment.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Is he going up the roller coaster or down?
Right. And then he's like, "Oh, that's right. I forgot she only does it one day a week." And I said, "I know. It sucks."
I know. I did like, it is nice not having the pressure to do it multiple times a week, but I really enjoy doing it. And I think it's good for me. It's good for my reps. And it's just a different experience, obviously, being Johnny Chimer Inner, which we all are, you know, because Bubba runs the show, versus having my own show. And there's no pressure with this show, which I like in the sense that I'm not hosting his show. I'm just hosting my own show.
Yeah.
So I could just do things the way that I do them. I'm not expected to live up to his standard. And,
sure.
You know, because you're never going to be Bubba. You're not, you know.
No.
Even when I host, it's just I'm just trying to keep the ship afloat. You know, we're not trying to have a rock star performance. It'd be nice if we did, but we won't.
Sure.
But well, I'm just trying to, you know,
so
keep the ship going.
Yeah. So when like Lummy or Tyler or anyone asks to do a show, mainly live on Twitch is what I mean. They say, "Well, what do I need to do? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, what if I don't get a lot of bits?" I said, "Look, I only have one rule. Don't get us banned."
Yeah, that's it.
I don't care if you go in there for 6 hours and do a show and make 4 bits. Like, I don't care. You know, don't do it for the bits. Do it for the content. I said, but the only rule is don't get banned. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only rule.
We're not going to get banned.
No. But that's what I
know the rules well enough by now. But I wish we could do this show a little bit more frequently. But maybe Bubba was talking about throwing in a few more shows and doing some stuff.
Yeah.
And I really like that. That would be cool for me.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we will. But what I want to talk about right now, which honestly, it wasn't even in the prep, anything I wrote down or anything, but I don't know if this is the move when Kamala Harris takes over. Apparently, as of 32 minutes ago, Harris is taking over as Biden undergoes anesthesia for colonoscopy before his 79th birthday. Happy birthday, Joe!
Well, at least she
what are the rules with that
record high approval rating, right?
Whatever. I don't even want to talk about politics. It's just fucking boring. Oh, I can say fucking. That's nice. It to me, like it's boring and it's the same. Yeah, Kamal sucks. What up, Joe's an idiot. It's tiring. It's the same hackneyed bullshit that we talk about day in and day out.
Yep.
What is interesting though that I don't know much about are the rules when a president is going under anesthesia. What is that like? What does it mean? Like she's taken over just in the event that there's another 9/11 in the next hour and a half or something like that, she will be acting as president.
Basically, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Because he's under, so he's unable to fulfill the duties of president. So
okay.
They need a quote unquote president.
All right. So like the substitute teacher for an hour and a half until he comes to. To be honest, it's probably not going to make much of a difference whether he's on anesthesia or not. He's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's what we have right
Maybe
now.
Maybe they'll find out why he poops his pants all the time.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing. Like, who is president matter? Yeah. But also. Yes, obviously, especially when it comes with inflation and they're fucking with the economy and stuff like that and whatever.
There was a bunch of jokes I saw. I think it was like yesterday when they announced it or something. It was, you know, something along the lines of like, why does he need a colonoscopy? We already know he's an asshole.
Oh, that's bad.
There was a
that's like did SNL do that or something? Or?
No, it was like Twitter jokes. Like there was a bunch of them like yesterday.
Yeah, if you're going to make fun of something that everybody makes fun of, be creative and get a different angle on it.
Yeah, like I'm okay with those type of jokes as long as they're what they call funny.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing about who's president. Yeah, it matters. Of course it does, kind of.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I can just... Like, how different is your day-to-day now than it was when Trump was president? It's not.
Well,
gas is more expensive.
It's
meat is more expensive. But other than that,
it's a lot. It's a lot different.
Right. Okay. But not for you and I. But maybe for a business owner with a supply chain and stuff like that. Well, how is it different? Your day to day.
Dude, since Trump got in, the housing market's times three.
Okay. All right. Sure. Yes, that happens. But in terms of how you're living your day to day.
I mean,
It's
quite a bit different. It's quite a bit different. However,
right.
I'm not saying it's because of Trump versus Biden.
Right.
I'm not saying
during
that's the reason.
Right. And certainly who is president has something to do with it, but not everything to do with it.
Of course.
You know, whether it be COVID and this and that.
Yeah, a lot
of things that are just moving parts that really don't have anything to do with the president. And especially with the governor that we have, thank God, Ronnie D, we have a lot more freedom here. So things really haven't been that different, especially when I talk to my family in California. And things there are opening up, and it seems to be we're getting back to some sort of normalcy. A lot of people have fetishized the pandemic. They love it because now they have purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They have something to look forward to, which is the death of others. That's what they look forward to now. Is telling people what they should do with their lives and how to be safe because they're all medical professionals, except they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Scalvin Bigalt, 5 subs. Thank you so much. But I'm not one to fetishize a pandemic. I would rather, this is kind of a bold statement, but whatever. I don't want to live my life waiting to die, which is what a lot of people are doing. Mm-hmm. I would rather live my life as full as I can, as normally as I can. And if I happen to get sick and die, well, that's the risk I run. At least I died just living.
Yes.
Not living, waiting to die.
Of course.
Again, if you're old or you got the pre-existing conditions or whatever, you got asthma with a diabetes type 2 kicker, fine.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
That's the guy's name.
Do you have diabetes? one of the best moments in live TV ever. I don't know if you remember this. I don't remember what year it was. I would guess around 2010. But for those that don't know what we're talking about, Shepard Smith, I feel like he used to be on Fox and then he switched over.
He was on Fox for a long time.
And he was an openly gay conservative man, right?
I don't think so.
He wasn't openly gay?
No, I don't think
so. But, I mean, it was pretty obvious. I think he's openly gay now. But anyways, that's besides the point. He was a news anchor, and they were following a story where there was a man absconding from the police, and he was driving, and it was a high-speed chase, and he pulls over, and he starts running away on foot. And right before the police get to him, he pulls out a gun, and he shoots himself in the head. And I remember because there's a helicopter, obviously, with a camera on it, and they're looking down, and you see the gun get pulled out, and you see him take it to the temple, and Shepard Smith is like, turn the camera away, because you can't show certain things
on
the camera.
Cut it off.
And then he's like, damn. You can see he's angry. He's like, we got to go to break. And then all of a sudden, it's just, do you have diabetes? Let me see if I can find it, because I feel like it's a classic clip. Did you send it to me?
No. I haven't been able to find the actual,
I remember watching it because someone's like, you got to see this. It's kind of just an odd string of events.
We can't show the death part.
Let's see. Turn away. Suicide. I'm not going to... You don't have to play it, but I just want to see if this... let's see what's going on here. Yeah, I understand a wish to proceed. Get the fuck out of my face.
Unfolded as viewers were watching on live television late this afternoon, a car chase, police in hot pursuit of a driver, and then the driver taking his life. We are not going to show the moment, but here's what
okay,
led
so
up
you
to
can show it.
And the debate.
You got to put it on the other screen.
Followed. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
Now he's off the freeway. This afternoon, Fox News was doing live coverage of a carjacking suspect fleeing police in Phoenix.
I'm just not sure about this.
As the man pulls over on a dirt road, the anchor, Shepard Smith, sounds wary.
This makes me a little nervous, I gotta tell you.
The suspect, on foot now, runs and stumbles, gun in hand.
It's always possible God could be on something.
At this point, we're gonna pause the video as the man ends his own life. On Fox, however, they did not cut away on time.
Get off it. Get off it. Get off it.
My name is Doug.
After a hasty
It's a different one.
No!
Oh, it's mesothelioma Doug.
No, we don't want mesothelioma Willie.
Very sorry.
God damn it.
We
wanted Wilford Brimley.
That's why I couldn't find the Wilford Brimley clip
God
of him doing
it,
because it wasn't Wilford Brimley.
That's annoying.
It was meso Doug.
Listen.
Jesus.
It was great when it happened. At least what I saw, it was Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, in your mind.
In my mind, maybe. At least that's the clip that I saw. But I do want to get into a few things today. Let me exit out of this. I've been kind of on a dopamine research bender.
Okay.
You know how I have my things.
Yeah.
I have things. I go through seasons. Right now we're in an intermittent fasting season where I'm really just trying to learn as much as possible. I'm not going to start talking about it. Don't worry. Everyone's like,
oh
shit.
Thank God. I know, me too.
Not again. It's like, how much is there to the story? You just don't eat.
You don't eat for 18 hours.
I know. And I like to brag about it. And it's one of those things. And I never thought I'd be that person. I get hypoglycemic bitchy. Yeah, we get it. All right. So I've been in that sort of season. But now I feel like I'm transitioning into a dopamine-inspired research bender.
Okay.
And the reason is that I'm trying to unlock the secret to happiness. Okay. Mm. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, there's not just like one thing you need to do to be happy.
Right.
And when I say happiness, I'm really taking it from a philosophical perspective. Like, what makes you happy?
Okay.
And I'm trying to transition that into more of a clinical neurological perspective.
Gotcha.
Like a neurochemistry aspect. Mm-hmm. What is it that makes me happy? What makes us happy? Well, happy feeling neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine.
Yep.
We hear about dopamine a lot, and it's like, oh, social media gives you dopamine hit. Yeah, but also no. So here's the thing that I was learning. So and it was funny because we looked this guy up a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
and that night my Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, okay. Professor Jeff.
Yep.
Mentioned Andrew Huberman.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like at class, he's like, yeah, does anyone know Andrew Huberman? And I'm like, are you? Because he said something about like taking in a scion breath. I don't know what it was. He was referencing a book or something.
Okay.
And he's like, does anyone listen to Andrew Huberman? And everyone went quiet. And I'm like, is that the dopamine lab guy in Stanford? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? I literally looked that up today, like where he practices. You looked it up too. You were next to me.
I know. I'm the one that brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been listening to Andrew Huberman a little bit. I don't feel like he's the best explainer, to be honest
Correct.
With you. He just kind of like rambles and rambles. Kind of like me.
So I don't like watching him. Like he has his own YouTube channel and stuff. Like I don't like watching that. I always watch him as guest on somebody else's.
Yeah. Like Ears.
Yeah.
For those that don't know who Tom Bilyeu is, I highly recommend his content. He's really fucking good. He's really fucking good at what he does.
Yeah.
He brings on really interesting people. And like, okay, there's a guy named Tom Bilyeu. He founded Quest Nutrition. Okay. This mm-hmm. was what, 10, 15 years ago, something like that. He sold the company. He started doing he started Impact Theory, which is a company about being better, striving to be your best.
Yeah.
Kind of like a David Goggins feel to it. Not as rough around the edges, obviously.
Not in your face.
Yeah, but sort of like a Gary Vee inspirational,
sure.
like do hard things sort of guy, which I like that message.
Yep.
So he's had a lot of people, everything from like science, and he's had athletes, and he's had people that have overcome trauma, and he's had musicians on. He's had like he has interesting people on that have an interesting story. And he had this Andrew Huberman guy who's talking about dopamine. And mm-hmm. yeah, we all hear about dopamine, but we hear about it in terms of like social media, like the dopamine hit. But I'm like, how the fuck do I really get as much dopamine, not in my brain because it's already there, but, you know, a receipt because you're getting it from an outside stimulus. So how do I kind of keep that gravy train going is what mm-hmm. I'm trying to do. Now, I don't think happiness or excitement is the same thing as fulfillment. So if you're you know, looking for meaning. Obviously, that can give you a dopamine bump too. But I'm just trying to figure out ways to kind of keep it going, because what I realize I do now is I'm on social media way too much, like most of us are. Facebook doesn't do it for me anymore. It's just, it doesn't get me chubbed up.
Facebook is gross.
Twitter literally gives me an elevator
button.
It's
even worse. Yeah.
Instagram is really my problem.
I mean, really, out of all of them, that's the one that's I probably like the most, but...
It's pictures, it's videos, it's never ending, and as soon as you finish, it auto-fires another one.
You can just swipe down, and then...
Now, did you notice that the feature is different where you don't even have to swipe? It, like, literally bounces down for you?
I don't use it that much, but...
And well, even if, I mean, even if you used it a little bit, you would see that it's different, where you could try to scroll, and then it just immediately shows you the next thing.
The one thing I don't like sometimes is, like, I'll have it on there, and... I'll like scroll or something, and then like I want to go back up to what I was just looking at, and it's like, oh, you've already seen it, so we're gonna hide it from you.
Yeah, because you're like, dude, I need to see that hot chick with the boobies bouncing again.
Yeah, and it's just like, nope. Then you got to go manually search for her.
Yeah, so I feel like now I'm trying to kind of unlock my brain chemistry and figure out I don't even want to say like how to be happy, but like how to get excited about shit.
Okay.
Because I say this all the time, but my worst fear is like, I don't know, getting choked to death or drowning or something. But in terms of like a lifelong thing, one of the things I fear the most is having a boring life where I'm not excited to wake up and go to work. I'm not looking forward to anything. I live a very bland life. And I feel like a lot of the people listening maybe do.
Most people do.
Or you have a bland life and you have like a few events throughout the year that are peppered in that you get excited about. Like BARP is awesome, but if BARP is the only thing you have to look forward to in your life, like that's kind of sad.
Right.
You know, you should have things like almost weekly where you're like, fuck, I'm excited about this.
Yep.
So I've tried to do a few. Now I'm all about like brain hacks and shit like that, because here's the thing. Like, we have this experience on the planet given a finite amount. We don't know if we're going to last 40 years or tomorrow. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to do is really kind of magnify the enjoyment and satisfaction I get, not only with big events, but like the small ones. So the first thing that I learned, this is actually from Mel Robbins. She talks about like savoring moments, which sounds dumb.
Is she the one that was on Tom Bilyeu?
She's been on Tom Bilyeu. No, I think so. I watched her recently. She's one of the people I always watch when she's on, when she does anything. But she talks about savoring moments in the sense of like, you know, if it's a nice day or you're in your car and you're having like a nice moment, don't let it be fleeting. Really be like, this is awesome. Like, think about it. I'm in a car. A lot of people don't have cars. It's a beautiful day. A lot of people live in fucking Detroit. Waller. It sucks. Yeah. Right. I'm driving to a home that I have and I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I have a cat I'm excited to see, or a boyfriend or a child or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Or you have like a hot shower and you're like, wow, this is really cool. Because it's every day you have a hot shower, most people. But most of the world doesn't have access to a nice shower where they can bathe on a regular basis. And I'll see my home, and it's a quaint apartment that I have, but it's my space and I like it and it's comfortable and it's, you know, I appreciate it for what it is and the joy that it brings me. Or like, I know a lot of people talk about this, but like a hot cup of coffee, like in the morning on a weekend where I don't have to use this, you know, I love this thing, but this to me represents work, which is why I don't use it on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, having a mug and a nice cup of coffee, and it's like, I open the window and the sunlight comes in and it's quiet and there's just like this moment where I'm just like kind of waking up. Like, I try to really savor those moments, and it brings a lot of joy versus just kind of going through the motions and be like, here's my coffee. It's like, wow, this is really cool. I'm really enjoying. So that has helped me a lot, is savoring moments. That's a good thing. But I'm really trying to get into the nitty gritty of like this dopamine. What I learned yesterday, and there's a woman who wrote a book called Dopamine Nation, and I liked, and her name's Anna, and I'm pretty sure she's Jewish.
That's what I'm looking at right now.
Lemke or something.
Lembke.
I don't know how the fuck you pronounce that. Anna L, whatever.
Yeah.
She wrote a book called Dopamine Nation, and what I appreciate about her is that I watched like an hour and 40 minutes. It was over a few days, because I'd watched like 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there.
That's fine. That's what I have loaded up right now.
Yeah. And at the end of it, Tom Bilyeu, we call him Ears because he has ears that stick out. He asks her, you know, where can people find you? And she goes, I don't have social media. And I'm like, fuck fuck yeah. She is literally, because she talks about how damaging social media can be. She talks about the benefits as well, how mm-hmm. it creates a sense of community. But I feel like for the most part, social media, if I were to say, you know, if it was on a seesaw, is it lead to good or bad? I would say probably more on the bad end of things.
Yeah.
I would say short-term good, long-term bad. You know,
now, I haven't watched her yet.
Yeah.
But I've seen other people that say this about dopamine and social media, that it's a not good thing in the long run, because when you first get on it and start doing it, you get that dopamine hit. And the problem is now people get dopamine hits too easily.
Correct. She talks about the dopamine okay. pain balance,
okay,
which is important. So, I mean, dopamine is a physical thing. It's a neurotransmitter.
Yes.
I think inside of the brain, outside of the brain, neurotransmitters are like called hormones. But as they work inside the brain, they're called neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. A chemical that causes a reaction that changes the chemistry of whatever. You get the point. I'm not here to teach you shit yep. like that. But she talks about the dopamine pain balance. And basically, even if you get like a huge dopamine hit, you're going to seesaw back the other way, where you're going to experience. Here's the thing, like if you never got that dopamine hit, you would be perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get a dopamine hit and then it starts leveling back. So even if you have more dopamine in your system than you would if you were at homeostasis, just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You start to feel depressed because you don't have that huge
right.
bump in dopamine,
right?
Sort of a thing. So she talks about like this balancing act of like when the dopamine is coming down, even if it's higher than base level, you will still feel more on the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to feel more on the dopamine side, you almost have to enact more pain. And that's when Tom Bilyeu came in and started talking about why it's important to do hard things, which your brain registers as on the pain side of things.
Right, right, right.
So if you want to go to the gym, for example, and it's like fucking hard, or you do a lot of homework or whatever the case may be, or you do a hard, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu class or whatever it is, when you're finished, when you've completed the task, you're going to get way more dopamine to kind of level out, because you feel the sense of accomplishment.
It's leveling out the epinephrine. Well, the adrenaline.
Yeah. I don't want to speak to that because I don't know exactly the nitty-gritty of the neurochemistry. But in terms of dopamine alone, I don't know I'm sure it affects like cortisol and adrenaline
shit. Yep.
But I really don't know, so I don't want to say. But she talks about this balance. And if we can think about it in layman's terms, if we have too much pleasure,
mm-hmm.
We become numb to it.
Right.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So this happens to me all the time with social media, probably more than I would like to admit. I'll be on Instagram, and if I haven't seen, like, if I haven't looked at my phone in a few hours,
mm-hmm.
I get like a big hit. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm back on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
mm-hmm.
then after an hour, I put it down, and then I pick it up a minute later and start looking, start scrolling. Then I start to, I don't have the hit,
right.
And I feel almost like this is bad, but I can't stop looking because mm-hmm. I'm a fucking addict.
Yep.
And I'm trying to look for another big hit. I'm like, is there going to be a good video? And I'm on it for like mm-hmm. 20 minutes. I'm like, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on? That's really when you have to kind of pull yourself away and then go do something. Like, then I'll go to the gym and work out really hard. And then I'll come back to my phone, look at Instagram, and I get another hit again.
Yeah, because it's been a while.
Right. So you have to kind of let homeostasis take mm-hmm. Take effect, kind of get to equilibrium.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're not, quote unquote, made for like this kind of stimulation.
No, we're not. She talks about that as well.
Okay. Yeah. It should be like, hey, you wake up out of your hut and look outside and like see a green plant, and that should give you the dopamine. Something simple should give you that green,
that
dopamine hit.
But in the modern marvels that we have now, when it comes to technology, when it comes to food,
yeah,
like there's no fucking Krispy Kreme Baconator's mixed sandwich that exists in nature. We created
right.
that shit because we're like, oh, we really like salty, we really like sweet, let's put them together in this incredible combination. Your brain goes fucking haywire, doesn't know how to deal with it. Now you're dealing with way more dopamine swings than you normally would. So what I've noticed now is like, if I start to feel kind of gross with, I'm looking at social media, I'm not getting any more, you got to put that fucking shit down and you got to go do something productive. That's what helps me. Whether it be vacuum or do the dishes or laundry or
yard
go to the
work.
Gym. Something that's hard, because I always know, here's another one for you that maybe doesn't work for anybody, works for me. Task completion.
Mm-hmm.
That feels so fucking good. Like on my way home yesterday, Wednesday was crazy from start to finish. It was just an absolutely bonkers day from, like, you know, working here, doing this, doing laundry, doing grocery shopping, washing my hair, going to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, getting choked out twice, like all that sort of shit.
Yep.
And then yesterday I fucking had nothing to do. And guess what? Nice. Yesterday was a lot worse than Wednesday.
Yeah.
Cause I just fucking wasted my time, like took a nap, woke up too late, went to the gym too late, ate too late. Everything got fucking pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just important to stay, and this is more like a PSA to myself, to stay on like my task completion.
Sure.
Because I'm always feeling at my best when I feel productive, which is weird because we know that being productive and having a productive day is satisfying at the end of it. But then knowing that we have a day off where we can just totally fuck off or whatever, it's always better in theory. It's always like, I can't. It's the anticipation of the day where you're like, Saturday, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday comes and you're like, looking at your phone. What do I do? What's going on?
Right.
I'm sleeping in. What? That sort of thing. So
that's what you hope for, like a shitty day outside where like, you're like, I kind of have an excuse to not have
right,
to get
up. Exactly. Or if you have like a crazy week where it's bananas and then you have a day where you really do rest and then you feel like you deserved it.
Well, that's different though.
That feels good.
Yeah. You need, like, you have to have
that.
Yeah.
But yesterday, I mean, I just went a little bit off the deep. I ate lunch too late. It was just a bad management day, but it was a good day. But nevertheless, I'm trying to find hacks so that I can experience like the most amount of joy and the most moments. And then at the end of the conversation, they had a really interesting discussion about, like, should you strive to do hard things? And they oddly had a different take on it. So Tom Bilyeu is all about, like, strive, have crazy goals that scare the shit out of you, and fucking get in there, and you're going to feel so much better about yourself. And she was saying, like, the more you strive for things, right? And you get these huge dopamine swings of like accomplishing things and failing at things and accomplishing things. She's saying like, if you were just content, that might actually be better for you. Because she said when she first started working, she's a researcher at Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
She said when she started first working at Stanford, students would come in and say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a researcher. I want to be whatever. She says now people are like, I want to be a doctor and I want to be a business person, and I want to be this, and I want to be a lawyer, and I want to be a researcher,
and a YouTuber.
I want to be a
plastic surgeon and a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. And she's saying that she thinks that that might be problematic.
Sure.
Because you're never content.
Yeah.
Like, you're always striving.
Yeah.
And they talked about, you know, attaching dopamine and rewarding yourself mentally. Again, this takes practice, probably, to the pursuit of getting things, not the actual getting of the thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, for me, I should attach myself the dopamine not to getting a higher belt, say with, you know, BJJ. It should be the pursuit of getting the belt, like going to class and putting in the hours.
But I thought that's what it was like.
Well, but a lot of times people like pursue, I want to make this amount of money and I want this business idea to, be successful, where she's saying
enjoy the journey and not the destination.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Right? Makes sense.
So those are like the hacks that I've been trying to learn, because basically I don't believe in the soul.
No, so
I believe in neurochemistry. And so I'm trying to kind of like use my brain to hack my brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So are you doing are you doing things that will last a long time, or are you like setting like not quick goals, but like, here's my thing is, will you like be able to carry these on until you're 55, or by the time you're 40, you're like, well, fuck, I've had so much dopamine now what do I fucking do?
No, I'm actually trying to make my baseline to the point where I need less stimulation to get as big of a high.
Okay,
right?
I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Instead of, like, for example, before I moved to Michigan and I was a wild child, I really wasn't having a good time at a party unless I was really fucked up.
Okay.
Like, and not just in terms of drugs or alcohol, but also in the sense of like, I needed to go to the biggest parties and the craziest raves and everything is big. But then I moved to Michigan and then I had like nothing, right? There was deer in my backyard. The people in my cohort were fucking weirdos. Nobody wanted to go out and do anything cool. It just seemed to be like, let's hang out at someone's house, play a card game, and go home. Like, that was...
Mm-hmm.
So my threshold for happiness or a dopamine hit had to be much lower. Like, I had to hype myself up that I was going to go meet someone for coffee at the beginning because I had no friends.
Right, right.
So that had to be the same bump as me going to, like, EDC or something like that. And that is a lot more manageable because I can't go to EDC. Not that I want to. I'm using that as an example. But sure. I can't go to a festival every weekend, nor do I want to. So I need to find little things that I can savor and appreciate and look forward to in the short term that are going to give me like something to look forward to and a bump, like me going to brunch.
Okay.
I'm really excited about that. And yeah. Even though it's like, it is exciting and it's fun, but it's not like wild or I'm going on a vacation in the Maldives or something. But if you can hype yourself up over the little things, and you see me do this a lot, like over food or I'm like,
of course,
snack! Like that, saying that out loud.
Yeah.
Like, gets you hype about small things and makes your day-to-day shit more enjoyable. Like,
oh, I completely agree.
And I think that that's really important, and that's why sometimes I, not sometimes, but a lot of the time, I act kind of like a child, because children get excited over stupid shit, and you're like, you're dumb. You're like two. You don't know anything. But they get excited over something small, and then you get excited for them. You're like, this stupid idiot doesn't. But really, they're kind of like a step ahead of you. Because they're getting excited over small shit and they're making it big shit. That's what we got to do to kind of keep the happiness train going. I think.
Got that. I see that. Yeah.
So I'll even have like, I will have a reaction outwardly before I have one in my brain. So I'll act excited and then that actually makes me excited. If that
Chico
makes sense.
Chico 2213 in the D6T, 1,000 bits.
Thank you very much. So I'm just trying to hack my brain because I'm like trying to have the best time on planet Earth. Like that's my goal now.
That's healthy.
I was like, I'm just trying to have some fucking fun. So I can hack my brain. Yeah. Because it's like, dude, we're going to live here obviously until we die. That's an obvious statement.
Yeah. It's at least another few weeks.
Right. So why just try to fucking max out in terms of happiness? Like that's what we're all chasing.
Absolutely.
So now I'm like, well, how can I hack my fucking brain where I'm happier more times than not? But here's the thing though. I don't want happiness all the time.
But.
I don't want happiness all the time because then it means less.
Of course.
You have to be sad sometimes. So when I'm sad, I want to be really sad.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Really sad, you know? And the last thing I want to be, and maybe we, and I know we're getting kind of philosophical, folks, but bear with me. I would say that I would rather have swings of happiness and sadness than neither, than numbness.
Well, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't just mean that you have happiness. Like, if you're happy, you also have to accept that you'll be really sad at some point.
That's better than not feeling anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember having that thought a while ago where, I mean, in my lowest of low times, I can think of like two times where I was not well. But in those moments, even though they were horrible and hard to get through, I felt something.
Sure.
And there was a point in time, probably maybe about a year ago, maybe around the beginning of the pandemic, where I just wasn't feeling much of anything at all. And I'm like, do I actually prefer sadness? Who's that? Boo, Ned's.
Ned's flaccid 9.
Thank you.
$4.99.
Thank you so much. But I actually had to have the conversation with myself. I was like, would I prefer to be really sad in this moment than feel nothing at all? Is that better? I guess it depends on what state of mind you're in, because when I was really sad, I just wanted to feel nothing. But then when you feel nothing, you go, fuck. When I was really sad,
I just want to feel something.
I felt alive.
Yeah.
I felt really alive. Like,
well,
you go ahead.
You also know that, like, hey, eventually this is going to turn around.
This too shall pass.
That too.
Thank you, Bible. Right? That's a Bible thing, right?
Yeah. Scott and Big Up gifted, I think, a sub.
Thank you so much. But I do remember having that thought where probably like the hardest time I went through in the last 5 years was definitely like post breakup, right?
Yeah.
And that was, to be honest with you, that was less about the person I was losing and more about, you know, me dealing with my own demons of like not feeling like I was enough and shit like that.
Right.
And, you know, I tried my hardest and I failed, like that sort of shit. Mm-hmm. Not so much. Like, oh, I had this great relationship and it dissolved. Like, it wasn't like that. It was more about me dealing with my own demons. But that was really a painful few months for me. I mean, I cried every day for about 60 days.
Oh, nice.
Every fucking day. And I remember, like, the first week I didn't cry, I went, wait, hold on a second. What was that? Did I cry in my car? And I'm like, no, I didn't. And that was such an exciting moment. I'm like, I think I'm getting better. Holy shit. This is great. And all I wanted to do was feel nothing. And then when I started feel nothing, I go, fuck, I wish I could feel something.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that sometimes now, which is why I try to hype myself up and get excited over the small things. And exactly everything that they were talking about in the interview I watched yesterday. Remember how I said, I don't want to be so rich that I'm unimpressed by anything anymore.
That's
the dopamine. I didn't know that that's what I was referring to, but that's the dopamine pleasure pain balance where you're got crazy dopamine.
Of course, you
keep needing more and more to feel the same effect, exactly like an addiction.
Yeah.
So you do crack for the first time. It's amazing. You've never done it before. Wow.
Right.
But now you keep needing more and more to get that. You're chasing that same high and you'll never get it.
Well, I was going to say someone who does skydiving, but you went to the crack addict, but whatever. Hey, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just an example that came to mind.
You go straight to crack.
Sorry, Rock. I feel like he's always watching me. He's not. He's too busy writing a book. But yeah.
He's an author.
Is he from Brooklyn?
Yeah. Vince Foster, 300 bits.
Thank you. So, I don't know. I've been trying to learn some brain hacks. Do hard shit is what I've learned. Here's the thing. The more pain you can inflict on yourself, and not pain in the sense of like you're cutting yourself, but pain
although,
in the sense of
although
like...
Although, that's sometimes why people do that as well.
To feel something?
Yes.
All right, cut yourself. But if you're going to do it the right way. You got to go long.
No,
lengthwise.
We don't say that
here.
Oh,
sorry. If you're in trouble, call 1-800. Don't kill yourself, okay?
Listen, yeah. Google it.
Google it on your own.
Vince Foster, 300 bits.
Thank you. But, yeah, that's why I'm trying to figure out things to hack the system so that I can feel happy as many times as possible.
So, not purposely, but for the past few weeks, I've watched some of the same stuff. Not the exact same. But some of the dopamine hack type stuff. And have thought like basically the same thing.
Yeah, it seems like sleep is a big part of that with regulating your happiness.
Two days in a row, good sleep, man.
Dude, I'm jealous. Oh. I'm jealous. Not that I haven't slept well. When I sleep hard, at least have, but again.
That getting dark early thing really helps.
Yeah, it does. But then you feel like such a piece of shit when you don't, like I did yesterday. Although, like, I did have a really good chat with my roommate. I haven't spoken to her in what feels like months. I would
probably
say
has been.
About, like, because here's the thing. Like, we'll see each other. We have opposite schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And I see her sometimes, but a lot of it's in passing. A lot of times she's with the boyfriend, so I can't really get a deep dive into what's going on in her life. But yesterday, it was just kind of this perfect moment where I was home, she was home, and we just started talking, and she was kind of caught me up on everything, and you know, I'm telling her about what's going on with me, she's telling me what's going on with her, so that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I got brunch this weekend, which I'm very excited about.
That'll be fun.
I hype myself up over that. I do kind of want to talk about something that was an interesting point that another friend brought up.
Okay.
I was speaking to recently about, this is such an odd situation, but hear me out. So my friend
fan is in Orlando, 200 bits.
Thank you. A friend of mine who's a chick has a boyfriend, and the boyfriend's parents are still in communication and still hang out with his ex. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So my friend and this guy are in a relationship.
Gotcha.
The guy's parents still talk to his ex.
Mm.
Like to the point where they vacation together, just the three of them.
Mm.
Two parents and an ex. Now, at first, when my friend was telling me about this, I go, well, that's literally insane. Why would they do that?
So, I mean, at least a red flag.
Yeah. I learned later that the reason why is when they were dating, the ex and her current boyfriend, she lost like both her parents.
Ooh.
Ugh. It's one of those parts where it's like situations where you go, God damn it.
Right.
Why did they have to die like that? So his parents are now kind of like her surrogate parents.
Okay.
But that's making my friend very uncomfortable. Like very uncomfortable and rightly so.
Yeah. I don't.
To the point where I'm like, is this bitch going to show up at Thanksgiving? Like, what are you going to. And my friend said, listen, If this bitch shows up, we'll call her ex-Sally. Okay. If ex-Sally shows up, I'm not going to Thanksgiving.
Now,
I'm
does like, ex-Sally have a new boyfriend?
I don't think so. Because okay, so I imagine she would attach to him and his family.
That's true.
But I also think that it's really shitty of the parents, kind of. But also, it's like, they feel bad because this chick, like, her dad died of cancer, and right after, like, her mom died in a car accident. Like, just horrible, horrible fucking...
Yeah, here's
luck.
Man, here's my ruling.
Yeah.
Bob's King. It's not okay.
Not okay. There at least needs to be some sort of like separation, yeah. Right?
Okay. Like, I'm somewhat okay with the parents like staying in contact with her,
especially the mom. Like, she yes. can meet her for lunch every now and again.
I have no problem with that. They can go do pottery together on the weekends.
Has your parents ever met an ex of yours that they've stayed in touch with after you broke up?
No.
That's not allowed, right?
Not allowed.
Okay. Has there been an ex in your life where your parents, like your mom, say, or dad, really liked? Like, they really got along well? They got on well?
Yeah. And not, like, super well, but yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what that's like. I mean, I've only introduced my parents to one
okay.
guy.
Okay.
And again, because my parents live across the country, it wasn't sure. like they were seeing each other all the time.
Sure, sure.
It's not like we did holidays together or anything like that.
Sure.
But I was trying to give my friend advice and I really didn't have any for him. Like, shit, I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable with it. I don't want to see this bitch around. I feel kind of sorry for her because, ew, why would you want to be friends with your ex's parents?
And then you see him like bringing the new girl around, and
or you just know what's going on in his life because
right.
obviously you're going to talk about him.
Maybe I mean you don't have to,
but I mean like think that's how you know each
up.
Other, right?
Yeah, that, I know,
and
but
you kind of well, I don't think it's appropriate. I
it's
would
not
be very
healthy.
No, it's not healthy for anybody.
No,
at all, not healthy for anybody.
No.
And I know that I was kind of also talking about my other friend, the whole marriage caper.
Oh yeah.
You know what I've learned recently?
Not okay, again.
You know what I've learned recently? And it is just, it makes me sad.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Everybody
yep.
fucking cheats.
Yep.
Everyone does dirty shit.
I knew you were gonna say that.
And even you're like, oh, wow, this person's really good. And they seem to be a really great husband or wife. It's like, you don't even have to look that deep into their past or present to see that they've done some shady ass shit.
Yeah.
Everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get here, you know, stay in front of you and say that I haven't, because I really think that I give myself a lot of props for not being a piece of shit.
Right.
In that way. I've fucked up, you know,
okay.
six ways to Sunday when
yep.
it comes to other stuff. But
yep.
when it comes to, like, loyalty, I just can't, I can't get close to you if I'm lying to you. I think that's the crux of it.
Well, I mean.
Does that make sense?
You're asking me?
Yeah, but I'm. You know, but I feel like people don't understand. Like, how can you really feel like you can open up to someone and be close to them when you're fucking lying about cheating on them? Like, yeah. I can't get close to you. I would just be like bursting with like, I touched another penis.
Right.
Like, I would just admit it.
That's all you would think about.
Oh, complete. I would be completely consumed.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Completely consumed.
Well,
go ahead.
There's very few, like, I mean, I don't know, I have, like, a lot of hang-ups and stuff, but, like, very few things that I'm, like, very adamant on, and, like, trust and loyalty are, like, two of my big, like, that means a lot to me.
Right, but here's the thing, though, is that you don't know when someone is betraying your trust and your loyalty all the time. Sometimes you can get a feeling for it, or your kind of sixth
right.
sense, spidey sense, your intuition starts to kick in, but sometimes it doesn't. And a lot of times, maybe they're not cheating on you in the classic sense where they're having sex with other people, but
right.
maybe they're being inappropriate with someone at work.
Right.
Where it's not, or they're telling like a female, say it's a man, they're telling a female colleague about, you know, you being, mm-hmm. say, me and my situation, and they're bonding over talking shit about me.
Right.
And, or talking about the problems, their relationship
yeah.
problems. That's also kind of inappropriate.
But the thing is, though, like you got to do this. Like you know, if you're with somebody or have like a really good friend that you trust, it's like, look, you have to be the one that's loyal and honest, and hope that's what you get back in return until you find out otherwise. But
oh yeah, you always start with an A+, 100%, and then you just start docking points.
Yeah, but you have to, you know.
Like, you don't have to earn my trust. Here's the thing. I'm not going to just go and trust, like, anybody with my life.
No way.
Sure. But when it comes to if you're in a relationship with somebody and they have to go on a work trip or you don't see them for 10 hours a day because they're at work, whatever the case may be, you got to just let them do that. You got to give them enough rope to hang themselves.
I say that all the time.
And if they come back and they've given you no reason to think that they've been disloyal, then you need to just continue with that. You can't be you checking in on people and you asking and you being like overly jealous is not helping the situation. In fact, it's pushing them away. It is pushing them. There's a healthy amount of jealousy, sure.
Yes. And you got to do it in a way where it says, "Hey, I care," not "Hey, I don't trust you." Like there's a difference. It's a fine line too.
That's a good point. "Hey, I care." Because if you're not jealous, like people think about people you don't care about. Are you jealous over them? You're like, "Nah, I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want."
Right, yeah. And you can't put that out.
You can't be possessive.
Right, you can't be possessive. But like you have to say, "Look, I trust you, but I care about you, and I hope like everything's cool, but like I'm not going to check up on you every 5 minutes because I trust you." But you also have to put out the like, "Hey, I care" vibe too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's been people where you're trying to make jealous because you're just like, "Do you care?" I feel like I've kind of done that before. Like, do you care?
Right.
Or do you just trust me so much that, you know, you tell yourself, "Oh, they just trust me so much." It's like, no, they actually don't give a shit.
Right.
They actually don't care. But yeah, so I definitely think you need to give people enough space to hang themselves. And if they give you no reason to think otherwise, you gotta live with your life. And one of my favorite gurus who I talk about all the time, Matthew Hussey, a lot of people ask him, "How do you trust again if you've been cheated on and you got all this shit, you got all this baggage, you were married, they were cheating on you, you didn't had no idea, whatever the case may be. How do I trust someone again?" is a question he gets often. He always says the same thing. He goes, "Listen, you'll never be able to guarantee that won't happen again, but you will always know that you'll be okay if it does."
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Yep. You're like, "Fuck, I'm not going to be able to control anybody 100%,
mm-hmm.
nor do I want to. That's a full-time job, and they don't want you, that's not fun for anybody. But if in the event that they do, listen, I've been through this before. Mm-hmm. I pulled myself out of the darkness of hell, I can do it again." Yep. And it's going to be easier the second time because you're going to know what to expect.
Sure.
So that's kind of how I look at it is, you know, listen, I might get burned, whatever. I know I'll be fucking fine.
Yep.
I will be totally fine. 81390 Bubba. So that's kind of like how I look at it.
There was something I was listening to the other day on I think it was like some cheesy radio show or something like a week or two ago. I don't know.
Elvis Duran show.
Yeah. Or like it was one of those type. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about going through your significant other's phone.
Mm.
And I was like, and there people are calling in like, "Yeah, you know, like I check it every week. I go through it." I'm like, there's no way I'd want that.
No. If like, you feel the need to check, there's a problem.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I like.
If you feel like you need to check on your partner because you don't trust them, that's the problem.
Yeah,
so why do you feel that way?
Right. It's a weird thing. It's like, "Hey, like to my, you know, my significant other, I'm like, hey, you could have my cell phone password. I don't care. But I also like don't expect you to go through my phone because like there's nothing on there that I'm like worried about. But like there's no need for you to go through my phone either.
I don't even want, I'll take this a step further. I don't even want you to have my passcode."
Yeah. I mean, like if somebody I was dating was like, "Hey, I need your password," I'd be like, "Well, fine. But like for like what? I've got nothing to hide. But also like, why don't you trust me?"
I have stuff to hide.
I'm sure
I have
you
stuff
do.
To hide. But here's what it is, though. Not that I'm being, like, I'm fucking around.
Yeah.
There's private conversations I've had about you.
Yeah, yeah.
With my friends that you don't need to fucking see.
Right, and I get
like,
that.
That's the main thing that comes to my mind when someone's like, "I want to look through your phone." And then I go, "Well, I got nothing to hide." Yeah, I do have something to hide. I had a conversation about
you to
a girlfriend where I didn't know what to do and you were doing something that pisses me off. I'm trying to get a gauge if I'm overreacting. You don't need to see that conversation.
And that's kind of like, right. Like there's nothing to hide as far as like nothing.
Not
bad.
Infidelity.
Right.
But like a private conversation I had that you'll see and you'll be like, "Why are you telling other people our business?" Well, that's a friend and I need to get things off my chest and I need to gauge if this is normal or whatever.
Sure.
Or, you know, maybe you did something weird in bed that whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
it's not infidelity. It's about me having a conversation probably about, if you're an important person in my life, I'm probably talking about you to other people.
Right. And if nothing else, like
good or bad,
it might even like be like help the situation. Or like, hey, maybe, you know, you're telling a friend because you're like, hey, this happened. Like, am I the bad, like, am I the not normal
getting
one? Or
right.
Like, how would I fix it? Or like, what's, you know, is that what they're into? Like, should I be cool with that? Like that kind of shit.
Yeah. And then this person just reads through, oh, you know, why are you telling somebody else our business? It's like,
right.
But you do the same thing. We all have have.
Everybody.
It doesn't
does.
Mean shouting it from the rooftops. And there's a very small group of people that I, two or three.
Of course.
That I'm like, hey, that I can really kind
of
confide
yeah.
in.
Of course.
What does that say? LeBoy? I can't read it.
SSBoy71.
Thank you. 100 bits. Appreciate
yes.
it. So, and again, this isn't like me gossiping about you, because here's the thing. Like, you know, they always said, like, the old adage, if someone is talking shit about someone to you, they're talking shit about you to somebody else.
Yep.
That's true, like, 95% of the time, mm-hmm. for sure. But then there's, like, that small group of people where you just talk shit, but you fucking have that person's back 100%.
Yep.
And
yep.
you, if anybody starts talking bad about them, you shut that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe three people in my life like mm-hmm. that, where we talk shit, but I don't talk shit about them.
Yep.
But it's very rare.
Yep.
I'm usually talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. I enjoy it. We've talked about this before. 81390 Bubba. But yeah, if you feel
Bubba
the
Army
need-
Grunt, 319.
Thank you.
And then
Trickney. Ashley.
Thousand bits.
1,000 bits. Thank you.
Thanks, Trickney.
And did you say Bubba Army Grunt? You said
I did.
It's a you said 319. Is it 314?
314.
Okay. But yeah, I'm not a fan of going through your person's phone.
No.
And the whole, like, if I've got nothing, maybe I want to talk about something with my dad and like his and my mom and their divorce, like that you just don't need to, it's just not your business.
Right.
It's not your fucking business,
yep.
but I'm not giving you any reason. It's mostly about me talking about you. That's the thing that I think I fear the most.
Yeah.
Because if you're important to me and you're a big part of my life and maybe things are a little bit rocky, like mm-hmm. you better believe I'm talking to somebody
of
about
course.
It. Cause I want to gauge if I'm normal, if I am out of line, if I'm crazy, mm-hmm. if I'm getting gaslit, I don't know. Because when you're in an emotional haze, you kind of don't have a grip on your own reality.
You don't.
You don't know if you're overreacting because everything feels so dramatic to you.
Bubba dreams of being too extra.
They slighted me. They fucking didn't call me back when they said they would. They mm-hmm. waited 10 minutes. You know, is it because they're over me? Is it because they're fucking bored with me? Is it because they don't care anymore? All these fucking demons that we all have.
Right.
And you sometimes need to talk it out with someone. That's important.
No,
you shouldn't just shove it all down
there.
No,
they're late because they had to pump gas.
Yeah. But anywho, we're going to take a break really quick. We will be back shortly
after
these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping Dogs Lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I was taking a urine. Oh. I was making pee pee.
That's hot.
Yeah. I was thinking about dopamine. Like, that was a good conversation we had. But what I realize is the way that our brains are designed with the whole like pain, pleasure, reward seeking system, mm-hmm. like pain avoidance and pleasure seeking. In the environment that we evolved, and this totally makes sense, you only got a dopamine hit after you accomplished something. And it took a lot of effort. So, for example, you've been following the herd for 5 days. Finally, you make a kill. Massive dopamine hit.
Okay.
You bring it to the tribe.
That would be a massive.
You get sucked off by every woman in the tribe.
Fuck yeah. From your dick that you haven't washed in three years.
Hell yeah. It's probably still hairy because you're an australopithecine or whatever.
Yeah, you're a fucking
you're a homo erectus.
Yeah.
You're homo erectus.
Right. Haven't had. No, they don't have soap.
Yeah, you're getting fucked.
Yeah, with your cheesy dick.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, with your fucking smegma-ridden dick. Anywho.
Yeah, because they weren't cut
okay,
either.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Bunch of
so
weirdos.
So you get this, you work really hard, you get a massive dopamine hit, right? In our world today, you get the hit without the hard work. And our brains aren't designed for that.
Right.
So it fucks you up because you're supposed to work really hard and it's like the pursuit. You're trying. Then you get a hit and you're like, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we're just getting hit after hit after hit after
from
hit.
From doing this.
So we get desensitized to it. Yeah. That's scroll. Like,
yeah.
Swiping, scroll.
Yeah.
So you're getting the hit, but without the hard work. So you're getting too many hits too quickly and it desensitizes your dopamine. So you keep needing more and more and more. So it occurred to me that, like, of course, and that's why we're wired that way. The dopamine is a reward. Keyword reward. Reward, you don't just get a reward for doing nothing. A mm-hmm. reward is something you get for accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's the reward system and why it makes sense, because it's supposed to reward you for doing hard things and essentially keeping you alive.
Right.
Right? To go out and strive to get food or shelter or whatever, and you get a big dopamine hit, it continues, it makes your brain, and obviously then dictates to your body, to go seek out more food, more women, more protection, mm-hmm. more shelter, whatever. Keeps you striving. But the system gets hacked when you just keep getting all these dopamine hits without doing hard things. So I challenge you, or don't. I don't give a fuck about you guys. So I challenge you. I need to stop pretending like I care about other people.
Yeah, you're a bunch of hicks.
Ignorant.
Because that went over well last time.
I need to stop pretending
it's
like I care
a
about
fucking
people.
Joke, people.
Yeah. I need to stop pretending like I care because I don't. Like, I tell you guys what to do. I'm like, intermittent fast or fucking don't. I don't care. Die if you want to. I don't care. Do you. Be happy. I don't care. I'm in the game for me. I don't know about anybody else. I remember when I started doing radio, people would always try to assign this like female empowerment agenda. I'm like, no, stop. Let's read those bits. Who is that? Scott, 91, 50, 75. What is that?
Scott, 911 with 63 bits.
63. Thank you. Not 62. Appreciate you. But what I remember this pretty, this is back in like Detroit days.
Oh,
where
shit.
Where someone was
ancient.
Like, Anna is trying to make it, you know, show that like women are funny.
Okay.
And I was like, whoa.
No, I'm trying to show that I'm funny.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about anybody else but me, which I think is a good thing, because it's everyone's trying to take credit for everybody else's accomplishments. It's mm-hmm. like, she's Kamala did it for women and I'm a woman and I win by no. That's what she did. She fucked her way to the top and she deserves to get rewarded for that. She had to have sex with Montel Jordan.
Go suck some dudes off if you want to be a vice president.
Sleep your way to the top. Fuck your way to the top.
Yeah, just like she did.
She had to suck off a lot of gross, old, bald, white men to get to where she is today.
That's a lot of hairy balls.
Yeah, that you didn't have to suck, and you're taking credit for it. Rude.
Yeah.
She did that for her, not for you, but she's smart enough, even though she's kind of a bitch, to make it seem like it's a win for the ladies. It's
Hold
not
on.
A win for the ladies.
Is she the president right now?
She is, because Biden is getting a tube up his ass.
A tube up his ass.
He's
getting a fucking tuba in his ass?
Probably
That's
likes that
That's pretty big.
Shit. Yeah.
He's not Lummy.
He's getting a tube and maybe a couple fingers.
Sorry, Lummy.
He's getting pegged by a tube in his butt. And he's out. Dead. Motherfucker's going to be 80 next year. Gross. Yeah. Can you imagine all of, like, for those of you that have had a colonoscopy, and those who haven't, but no, Pickeroon 2001 gifted 10 subs. Thank you.
Thanks, Pickeroon.
You guys know that when you have to have a colonoscopy, there's a little bit of a pregame. There's a little bit of a liquid magnesium pregame where you literally shit your brains out for like 36 hours before you go get the tube in your ass.
Yeah.
So could you imagine Biden yesterday?
I like to go buy that shit just for fun. I don't even have
a if you want to lose some weight a little bit. You know, you look a little trim for barp or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing.
Biden yesterday, as everyone is talking about inflation and China, Xi Jinping, all this horrible stuff, Biden was literally sitting on his toilet shitting for 36 hours straight while the rest of the world was burning.
Because
he needed to get a tube in his ass. Okay. Do you think Kamala, is this where she goes in and starts pulling plugs? Does she go in where he's having a colonoscopy and just starts pulling plugs, hoping that one of them is life support?
I'll tell you what, she's the only one because everybody else seems to hate her, including her own party now.
Yeah. Well, I still think that they're trying to protect her. I think she's going to run next. I don't even know how that would work.
Biden turns 79. He's not even 80 yet.
Next year he's going
to
be 80.
Okay. Yeah. He's got a long way to go.
Yeah. One whole year if he makes it. It's a long way to go. What if they find something bad in the colonoscopy? It's funny that we know that he's having a colonoscopy. That seems like it should be private information.
No,
but I guess not because it's like Kamala's president right now for the next hour and a half.
Yeah,
and he's getting finger fucked by a tube in his butthole. That's disgusting. Imagine being a proctologist. Like Dan's got a cool doctor gig. You know, he's putting on tits on hot chicks.
Being a proctologist is a shitty job.
Yeah, but imagine if your passion was like assholes.
So we used to have Dr. Mark come in all the time.
Urologist.
Yes. And they basically him and Dan would talk, and Dan's like, "Look, I don't deal with insurance companies. I deal with usually hot chicks that are looking to get boobs, and you're sitting here dealing with insurance companies looking at dicks all day long. Like who went wrong?"
Yeah.
Like, where did things go wrong for you?
I imagine probably being a proctologist or urologist is maybe not, that's not your dream job as a doctor. But someone has to do it because assholes cause a lot of problems.
They do.
Assholes, GI shit, literal shit. You know those commercials that always, like, ruin your appetite? It's like, oh, do you want to shit in a box? What is it called?
Cologuard.
Cologuard. I would hate those pre-rolls. I'd be eating breakfast like, yum, yum, yum. I'm eating peanut butter. And then it's like, shit in a box.
Whose job is to open the fucking box and to sift through the shit? Like, that's your fucking full-time job is a shit box opener.
You'd think if they would start automating jobs, they would maybe start there.
No.
Shit box opener.
No, they're going to fucking automate the...
Subject that to a real human life. That's horrible.
They're going to automate the fucking person that takes your order at McDonald's. But the shit box opener... That's got to be a person.
And here's the thing. It's not that fresh shit smells good, but like old shit.
That's been sealed up. Can't even dry out. It's all sealed up. Rotten sealed up shit in a box that's gone through the fucking mailbox. It's all heated up and shit. It's all hot. Because you've been bouncing in the back of the fucking...
Because you just sent it through the mail, right? It's not like you... Imagine handling that and you just don't even know. They probably know because it says Cologuard. And they're like, oh, we got a shit box. Yeah. I'm a shit in this
pooping clothes. It's got a label on it.
It's fucking clothes. So gross. Listen, I analyzed cum for an entire summer. And it was bad. But I imagine
at least
that...
it was fresh.
It was fresh. It still smelled... There's just a... I don't know. Again, when you're dealing with
bleachy
material that you're comfortable with, you will subject yourself to a lot of different things. You may, you may not put it on a petri dish. You may put it in your eye or something. There's some people that do that. I know. Some people put it in their eye. Some people leave it there. Some people put it on their stomach, maybe on their boobies.
Well,
with material they know.
Yeah.
With material you don't know, dude... You put on like two white coats, four pairs of gloves, two pairs of goggles. I was wearing fucking slippers on my shoes, and I'd stepped in dog shit.
Booties?
Yeah, the little it's like a shower cap for your shoes.
They're called booties.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, everybody has AIDS. That's how I would approach every sample. Everybody has AIDS, and here's the thing: the sample wouldn't even touch the floor at all. I would have to bleach the floor after every time I analyzed, just in the event. That some AIDS-ridden drop of cum hit the ground.
Okay.
I would be mopping with fucking bleach and scrubbing the fucking counters of places that I didn't even use.
It already smells like bleach.
It was disgusting. But it was, you know what? I preferred that than talking to the participants.
Well, no shit.
Because there was a time where there were three of us involved in the study.
Okay.
And we would rotate, so sometimes they would analyze the semen and I
wouldn't
want
to be
tell.
The one that had to do this.
Yeah, that really hurt my right arm. That's why I'm so buff. But there was a few times where I had to tell a guy how to jerk off and what to do with his cum.
How do you fuck? Hold on. What?
I'm like, not how to jerk off, but what we need. I'm like, dude, you can't look at porn.
What?
When you ejaculate, you have to just be thinking of this scenario. You tie off the condom, you put it in the cup, you put the cup in a container, container in a thing, and a thing in a thing.
Jerk off in a condom and not watch porn?
Yeah. because we would give them a vignette to think about to see if there was any sort of difference between the two samples they provided. One was a control, the other one was like their partner was cheating on them, and we wanted to see if the sperm count was different. And when it comes to like the IRB, the not international, institutional review board, just when it comes to ethics and studies, you have to, it takes a fucking long time for even the most benign studies to go through, like a survey. And it's like, in the event that someone deals with some trauma from answering some of these questions, here's resources they can reach out to if they need to talk to somebody.
Now,
were you like,
hey, go in this room and jerk off, or was it like, go home and jerk off?
Wherever. I found condom wrappers in the disgusting public restrooms. I found it everywhere.
So I know like some of those studies are like, hey, like there's special rooms for that.
No, no, we didn't have any of that, but they would come in with essentially a lunch bag, a brown lunch bag, be like, here it is. And I would give them $25 cash.
Okay.
And they got 75 total. Cause I think we needed just, we needed three samples. I forget what the third one was. One of them was obviously the control. The other one was the, what do you call it? Whatever. Not the control. And then I forget what the third one was. I don't know. Maybe just to see if their sperm was okay. I don't remember. But anyways, they got three. Maybe one for just showing up. I think maybe just showing up the first day.
Okay.
And me being like, hey, this is what you have to do. You have to jerk off twice. And it got awkward because my school wasn't that big. And I'd be like, oh, you're Nick the barista that I see every fucking day when I get my Americana.
With a stir spoon going like this. And all you could think of him jerking off into a fucking condom.
Yeah.
Touching your stir spoon.
Yeah. I'm like, this is awkward. I have to now go to a different coffee shop on campus because I can't look at your face, Nick, because I just analyzed your cum. It's gross.
Speaking of which, Bub Army Grunt. 314, Bub Army Grunt, 314.
Needless to say, that is better than analyzing shit, for sure.
Is it, though?
Yeah. Because shit, it's just smelly. Like, cum smells, it smells, you know how it is. You know, you've smelled yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, it's not great, but it's tolerable.
Yeah.
Some of it has like depends a pungent odor. But
it depends on what you eat.
But knowing that it comes from a stranger, it makes it worse. Like if it's someone you know and you're hooking up with, you're like, okay, this is whatever, smells weird.
Yeah.
But then when it's like a stranger, you're like, whoa. Yeah. Inappropriate. Not okay.
You could put up a lot of shit if it's someone you're with. Like whatever.
Yeah, you could make it hot, but not with a stranger.
You're walking down the street and they sneeze and they're like a block away. And you're like, whoa, come on, gross.
Yeah, cover your mouth, ho. But then you'll lick your dog and then you'll mouth kiss your dog. And your dog has literally been licking other dogs' assholes, but you don't care because your dog. And you're like, my dog's amazing. And you jiggle his balls.
I mean, what?
Let's take a call. Hello, who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. I'm not going to hang up on you unless someone gives us a bunch of money, too.
Calling two different shows. I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's gone into you.
First thing, you know that scenario you said about the ex still having a relationship with
the family?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you about this scenario, which I live. My wife and I now are of 26 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have a son that's 21.
Okay.
But prior to that marriage, fuck. I was married for 10 years to another woman who has two kids. We have two kids with, and she still has a relationship with my parents.
I gotta let you go, Gary.
Yeah, Gary, someone just fucking
gives 100... The real Florida Stanley, 10,000 bits!
This is like the one
time... I feel
bad,
because he's being nice.
I know.
What do I do?
You gotta hang up on him.
Gary,
I mean, people have spoken, and I really don't want to say that, because I actually like...
Gary, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, call back and, I mean... You gotta hang up.
All right, Gary, just...
That's not nothing with you, Gary.
Call
sorry.
Back, I guess. Gary, I feel bad because Gary is.
I just want to call him off the air and be like, hey, tell me what you're going to say.
Yeah, I feel bad. But, I mean, listen, money talks.
Yep, sorry,
people
Gary.
People spoke.
We're whores.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, it's Track Me. That was great. That was
what's that
made my day. But anyway, I was going to say, them color guard boxes, y'all were talking about them.
Oh,
well,
no.
Well, I deliver them and I also pick them up.
No, you don't.
And the worst part is, like, when you see one and then it's got, like, little stains on the side. And
oh, no, they missed the fucking target.
Oh, dude, it happens for real. And then some of the people who hand you the box, you look at them, you're like, oh, this has got that person's poop in it. Now, if it's a hot chick, whatever.
That's still poop, though, man. I don't care.
Their shit don't stink?
Yeah.
Why do we think that gross people have smellier shit?
They probably do.
Likely I'm going to want to touch their smelly shit. I don't know if it's smellier. It's just not as hot, you know. But my dog, however, I got a little 2-year-old girl, and she has, like, her own personal potty. Well, me and my wife were busy. My little girl's like, I go to the bathroom. I said, all right, go to the bathroom. She went to the bathroom. I started wiping her, and my wife said something about cooking, so I turned around. By the time I turned around and started cooking, my dog ate the whole pile of my kid's poop. It was disgusting.
Ew. Disgusting. Your dog's going to shit.
Oh, she had diarrhea. It messed her up. It really did. It screwed her up pretty good.
That's nasty.
Dogs eat shit all the time, man. Come on.
Poop stories with y'all. Sorry you got hung up on Gary. That's what you get for being a dick. Y'all
yeah, he was actually being cool this time, too.
Yeah, sorry, Gare Bear. Oh, sorry, Trevor.
Thanks, Trevor.
Hello, who's this? Hello?
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 Hi.
Hello. This is Gary, real quick.
All right, yeah, go ahead. Real, you got to be quick.
Gotta be quick.
Let's blow Biden. Let's blow Biden.
Derek, Gary, you really had a chance there. We were really rooting for you.
Hold on. I'm still cool with Gary. But we had to hang up, though.
Yeah, we did. We certainly did. There are a few other things I wanted to talk about. And I think enough time has passed where I can say this freely.
Oh, no.
I went on a date with a man.
Okay.
A while ago.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't like it. I'm a little concerned.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he's listening or not.
Okay.
It seems like he was following the show shortly after the date to see if I really did say that I wasn't there to get content.
Okay. Because
I had claimed that I'm not there to get content, and that is true.
Right.
I am, like, searching. But, and I always say that because that's always a concern and a legitimate one. Honest, Dusty Dab, 500 bits. Fuck you. Thank you, though. And I want to stress that, listen, I'm not using you for content because, and here's the thing. Most people think that they're way more interesting than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, unless you, like, reached over and tried to stab me in the eye, It's probably not going to be that interesting of a time for me to talk about you on the air.
Correct.
So I know that he was listening probably like the week after, maybe the week after that, even a few weeks. But I think he's kind of leveled off.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where I hate being confrontational with people I don't really feel like I owe being confrontational to.
Mm-hmm.
With people that I'm close to, if there's a problem, I like to address it, hit it head on. But for people that I've been on a date with, I don't really feel like I owe you.
You owe them nothing.
The, you know, explanation as to what I liked, what I didn't like. It doesn't matter. I'm not into it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel, here's what it is. Number one, I don't want to be confrontational because it's uncomfortable. But number two, I want to see how far you're going to go to try to either get a second date or talk to me, or if you're interested.
Okay.
Like, I want to gauge how you felt. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I want to gauge my performance on the date.
Sure.
By how much you want to see me again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I will maybe not, like, quell your texts or quash your attempts because I want to see what kind of impression did I make on you?
Even
I'm
if
just
you
curious.
Have no plans on having,
no.
Okay.
I have no plans on seeing you again, but I also want to see
okay.
How interested you are in me, because I'm curious.
Okay.
You know, how captivating am I as a person? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Very. So we go out. I wasn't feeling it. I'm debating on whether I'm going to disclose. Here's what happened. I don't care. What am I going to do? I paid.
Oh.
I paid.
Okay.
This is what, ladies, I'm talking to my bitches. I know it says no more bitch, but whatever.
Does it actually say that up there?
Yeah. It takes one to know one, and guess what? I'm a fucking bitch. Here's the thing. Ladies, when you, those of us that were raised right, some of us weren't. This isn't for you. Some people, some ladies on a first date never offer to pay. Some just don't even, it's men are supposed to pay. Bitch, if you want to live in an egalitarian world and you think that women are equal to men, then you need to start doing the dance.
Okay.
You need to start doing the gesture where even if you aren't planning on paying, even if you're kind of expecting the guy to pay, you at least need to do the fucking dance to your purse. And I always say the same thing, like, either I got this or can I contribute? That's mm-hmm. usually what I say. Can mm-hmm. I contribute? Mm-hmm. I do it because I was raised right. And not that my parents ever sat me down and said, this is how you have to act with a man or anything like that. But it was more just generally speaking, don't be a leech.
Right.
Don't be a mooch.
Mm-hmm.
Gestures mean things. People want to feel appreciated and not taken advantage of. That's how I was raised. So absolutely. I kind of applied that to my romantic life, my friend life, my professional life, whatever the case may be. I always make sure people feel acknowledged and appreciated
yep.
because that's part of just the human condition. We want to be seen and we want to be thanked for the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we try so hard to appease Bubba. And that's why when Plummy said he wanted to get an attaboy yesterday, I totally understood.
Of course.
You want to get like a attaboy, like, thanks so much. And you want to work for it. You want to get that dopamine,
yeah.
bitch.
Yeah.
So we went to a place in St. Pete that I had not been to before that I really liked. It was actually a really cool place.
Hmm.
I got there before him. No problem. It's cool. And it's one of those things where you get a bottle of wine and then they crack, like, you go to the wine cellar area. Okay. It's not really a cellar, but the wine room. You buy a bottle of wine and then the guy takes it over, cracks it open for you, and it's gotcha. It's a nice little thing. Whatever.
Okay.
It's cool setup. So I don't know anything about wine. He's kind of like, what do you want? I'm like, white. I don't care. I don't know. I was like, I'm not a wine snob. I don't know anything. Okay. I've never seen these brands before. I'm not a brand wine. I don't know anything about wine or fashion or any of the finer mm-hmm. things in life. You can guarantee I've never fucking heard of. I know Cheez-Its. Okay. I know juice box and Cheez-Its. That's how I grew up. Mm. I Capri Sun. Okay. I'm fancy. I know Franzia. I know box wine.
Oh shit.
I'm a box wine connoisseur. But they didn't have any box wine because it wasn't a trash piece of shit.
How about
joint.
Canned wine? That's like the new thing.
Oh. No, I don't think there was any canned wine. It was in a glass bottle, as it should be.
Oh.
As wine is meant to be served and distributed. So we pick one out. He's like, how about this? I'm like, I fucking don't know. Just pick it. So we go, and the guy who's checking us out says, tells us about it. If you like this crisp, no, I don't know.
Was it a sommelier?
I don't fucking know. Doesn't matter.
The guy?
So, you know, we're checking out to pay.
Okay.
And he starts to grab his credit card.
Okay.
I feel like I'm just standing there. I'm also closer to the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an awkward, do I do the dance? And I go, you always do the dance. And 98% of the time.
This is first date.
First date.
Okay.
98% of the time, I'm stopped in my tracks by the man.
As
put that shit away.
As it should be.
Hand like a crossing guard.
Yeah.
Blocking me from oncoming traffic.
Yes.
Or the move is you tell the person taking the card, don't take her money. Like, because he was looking for his card. I slapped mine on the counter.
Yep.
I got it. I mm-hmm. said. Most of the time, guys will go grab the card. Absolutely not.
Yep.
They'll tell the guy, don't run the card.
Yep.
I got it. Absolutely not. Don't take her money. Don't take her money. Don't take her money.
I've even known to bring, I've been like, I don't pay cash a lot of places. Very few. I've been known to bring cash because if that dance happens, they're going to take, if you bust out cash, they're going to take the cash for sure.
Because then they don't get the extra charge for the.
Usually they'll take cash before a credit card. So like if there's that dance of like, we don't know who's to take, you bust out cash, you're taking cash.
Yeah. But also even as a. And granted, it was a progressive place we went to, judging by the decorations.
Okay.
So maybe they think, you know, women and men are on equal footing. We're not.
No.
We still want you to pay.
Yep.
I slap my card on the table, and he says, oh, thanks.
Oh.
I wanted to take the bottle of wine and just leave at that point. And it's so it's fucking unfair because I did the gesture.
Yep.
Thinking that he would do the gesture.
Yep.
But we were not on the same wavelength. And it was not a cheap bottle of wine. And I'm not rich.
How much is not a cheap bottle of wine?
With tip, I paid $31, $32.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't thinking, like $100
okay,
or anything.
Okay.
But like the bottles of wine that I buy, an expensive bottle of wine from Publix for me is like $16.
Okay, yeah.
You know, but I mean, I'll drink like an $8, whatever, but like $31, $32 with tip, that, I mean, I wasn't expecting that. And it's not like he's going to get the next round.
Did you just say $31, 32 with tip? Is that what you just said?
No, with tip, 31 or 32. Okay. It was like 27.
I thought you said 31 or 32 with a tip. I was like, holy cheap bitch.
No. It was like 27 bucks, okay, and I think I gave him 32.
Oh, that's okay. Perfect.
Yeah. So I was so turned off at that point. And here's the thing is, I was like, that's your fault.
Yeah, Anna.
That's your fault because you did the dance and you are taking a risk.
No. Fuck that. It's his fault. Like you have to know by doing that dance, you might get called out. So you might, like, eventually you might have to pay.
No, as you should. But not on a first date, I would assume. You know,
no,
that's typically.
You should never pay on a first date.
Yeah.
No matter what.
And I hate using the word should because I know I've talked about this before. Like, there's no ethical or moral obligation for the man to pay. It's strictly strategy.
Yeah.
In terms of if you should you pay because it's the right thing to do? No. Should you pay because you're trying to get into her pants and that's the best strategy to do it? Yes.
Yeah.
Strategy-wise, yes. If you want me to feel like a woman
it's
with
an
the
investment.
Provider. Yes, exactly. That's what I mean by should. So don't, it's not about, you know, should a man pay, it's that's, right or wrong.
That's also why you don't go to a really nice restaurant as a first date.
And this was a little wine bar, like whatever.
No, that's fine.
And here's the thing that pissed me off, not pissed me off, but here's the thing, like, if I got the first round, which already I'm not happy about, then I'll be like, all right, he's going to get the next round. When you get a bottle of wine on a first date, there's no second round.
No.
I just paid for the whole date.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. Now, I'm not happy. I want to leave,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, is totally unfair.
Sure.
Because I offered to do it, but I was doing the dance, and I thought that he was going to meet me halfway, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so turned off of, like, the thought of, because I'm like, now I'm your daddy. Like, that's what I thought. I'm like, you're drinking my, like, I'm like, do men think this way? Like, I'm like, you're drinking my wine, bitch.
Would you like another glass of my wine?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, which was fucked up because then I think, is that what guys think? They're like, that bitch is drinking my wine. Probably not because they're
really.
Expected to pay.
Yes.
But me, I was thinking that's my wine. And then at the end of the date, he kind of made an allusion to hanging out again.
Okay.
I go, I don't know if I can afford it. In my head, I said that.
Okay.
I didn't say that out loud. But I kind of got mad at myself because I'm like, you can't, you ran the risk.
Yeah.
You offered to pay and he let you fucking pay.
He called your bluff.
He called my bluff and I had to pay. Again, I could afford it. It wasn't like there wasn't any money in the bank or something like that. But it annoyed me because in my mind, going out on the date, I'm not the type of person to be like, I'm going to order the most expensive thing. But it was just like, I'm going to have a free night tonight.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice feeling knowing that you're going to go into something and you're not going to have to pay 40, 50 bucks again, which mm-hmm. isn't a crazy amount, but that sort of money makes a difference to me. Like,
yeah,
I think to most people it does. Not to Dan or something like that, where he can just throw it and wipe his ass and throw it in the trash. $40 means something to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also it kind of not fucks up the weekend, but then the next day I'm like, well, I can't go out to eat or what. I just like to, again, I have enough money. It's fine. I'm doing all right, but it fucks with my head. I'm also a Jew.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish. Sorry for the Jews out there that don't like to be called Jews, which you are, but whatever. In my Jewish brain, I'm like, fuck, I have to spend money?
Yeah.
I don't like spending money. So that kind of threw me. Oh, let me just check my text messages. We're good.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, he was kind of hitting me up for a bit.
Okay.
This date was probably a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me up, and I'm responding, but politely, not engaging in anything, not asking him questions, not whatever.
But you're replying, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, again, I want to see how far this is going to go.
Sure.
How far are you going to try for my attention and my affection?
Was he
going to
do you a favor and let you buy him dinner again?
I don't know. But he kind of made, like, it was to the point where he messaged me on Instagram.
Okay.
About hanging out again because we were going back and forth. And then, you know how you can see the preview of the message without opening it?
Yes.
So I saw what it asked and I didn't open it. And
okay.
He deleted it.
Oh.
Because then I saw the thread later and that message was gone.
Oh.
Because I didn't respond with it in a timely manner.
He didn't like it.
Well, I just thought that was the end. But then he messaged me a text message. Hey.
Oh.
Like, here's what I love doing, which pisses people off, and what I hate when people do it to me, which is why I enjoy so much when I do it to other people, is if someone asks you a question that you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
if someone asks you about, especially if they do a follow-up, like, oh, do you want to hang out again? And how was your day? You just answer.
My day was great.
My day was great.
Yeah.
Oh, she responded, but now they're scratching. Fuck, does she want to hang out? I don't know.
And then you ask again. And then you like a real, yeah, to ask again, then you're like, oh, fuck.
And you look like a jobber.
Yeah.
So he was kind of asking a couple times, and then
the rule is twice.
Well, there was quite a few times. And
I know, but.
And then there was the messaging, and then I wouldn't respond in a timely manner, and he kind of called me out for it. And I'm like, dude, and it was on an actual busy day. Like, I wasn't trying to be a dick. I was like at the gym, and I was running around, and I just said, listen, I'm fucking like busy. Don't call me out because I didn't answer your text in 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, get out of here. And he got mad. And he said, like, okay, bye, peace sign. I said, all right, cool. No problem. But then I just had an inkling. I'm like, I feel like this fucker is going to come back. Did yesterday.
Oh.
Said hi. That was a big opener. Hey, hi.
Oh, that's a good
said,
one.
Hey, hi back.
Okay.
And so we had a little bit, and he said he was didn't know where to place my file. My file meaning like,
you know, I know.
And I finally was honest. I was like, I finally was like, okay, he's outright asking me, what is this? What's going on? Is there a chance? And I just said, you know, the courtesy corporate future endeavors reply, which is, I didn't really feel a connection romantically, and I really appreciate your time coming out, whatever. And he said, okay, thank you for using your words. Like, you know, made a joke about it and said, take care. And I said, So it kind of, should I have had that conversation 2 weeks ago? Probably.
Who cares?
Who cares is probably the answer. But, you know, I wasn't sure if, here's the thing. Should I not be playing that game to see how far they're going to, how much they're going to dance? Because I like to see. Because it's a good sort of gauge on, again, it boosts my confidence. It boosts my self-esteem, which is, you know, that's what we're all in the game for. But also, it kind of lets me know how, like, what kind of impression am I having on people that I'm meeting for the first time? Am I a compelling person? Am I an interesting person? Do they think I'm funny? Do they want to be around me again? And, you know, not to brag or anything, but the last few, it seems like they want to hang out. They're at least interested. A lot of people say they're intrigued by me because I'm, you know, I'm pretty honest and open on the first date about the shit I've done, the shit I'm doing, what I'm up to. You know, I'm definitely not a basic bitch. In a lot of ways, I am. I like fucking brunch and shit and snacks, but yeah, in a lot of ways, I'm not. So I like to see how compelling I am by seeing, you know, how much they're going to dance.
Okay.
So.
I mean, it's probably not a nice thing to do to kind of lead them on, but.
But then also, you know, I paid for that wine, though.
Yeah, no, you're
And I needed
right.
to get my money's worth. I needed to get my money back, and because I couldn't get my money back, I needed to get it back in another way. Hello, who's this? Identify yourself.
Hello?
Oh, hey. Hi. Sorry.
Sorry, I was taking you guys off Bluetooth. It's Flora Stanley. What's up?
What's up, Flora Stanley? Thank you for the...
I hope Gary cheers 100 bits. Or 10,000 bits.
10,000.
I fucking dare him. He should know the fucking rules. You don't call more than once on each show.
Yeah!
Fuck you, Gary.
I tried to give him a second chance, but yeah, well.
I'm recently single, so I'm going to be coming up for $199 before the day before. If you guys want to hang out after, because I know it only goes from 8 to 10.
Wait, tonight you're coming up, or...? Tonight?
No. Before Barb.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Bubba
yeah.
offered anybody that's going to Barb. Right. He said
in January.
$199.
Yep.
So I'm gonna come to $199. I'm gonna get my Airbnb a day early or 2 days, I guess, instead of one, because I was only gonna come up for Saturday. But if you guys want to go out after $199, you won't have to pay for a $32 bottle of wine. I'll pay for it.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Yeah. No, I'm not. Thank you, though. I appreciate the offer, but no.
And to be honest, I doubt I'll be going out anywhere that night. Like, as soon as $199 is over with, like, I'll probably be heading
home. Because we got Thursday,
home.
We got Friday, and then we got Saturday.
And I'm assuming that whole week and, like, the week prior, we'll be busy doing
I know
shit
you guys are
going
to be busy that week. Yeah. I didn't think you guys were going to be too busy on Saturday. I figured most of it would already be all set up by then.
Well, there's a lot of pre-shit that, like, the tents come and the food and just kind of making sure everything's clean. But I do really appreciate that, but there's no need. You're already paying my bills, sir. Like, you don't need to be paying for wine. But I appreciate it. I appreciate the gesture. See, that's the thing. See the dance we just did? See the dance we just did? You offered, and I said, absolutely not. No, you're a guest of ours, and thank you, but no thank you. Mm-hmm. You and I know how to dance. That fucker didn't know how to dance.
I was just sending out an offer. No big deal.
Exactly. And I say, absolutely not. You know, we're friends. We're good. No thank you. You're great. That's the dance, because we both know. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Right, thank you for dancing.
That's all. I'll see you guys in a month. And fuck Gary and Tampa Terry. Bye.
Hell yeah.
Bye. But yeah, you see that? That's the dance we did, because we both know how to exist in society. Mm-hmm. Me and Florida Stanley. Let's take this call. Hello, who's this? Yeah? Tell me about it.
Really?
Well?
Pretty fucking compelling.
Awesome. Perfect call. Perfect call.
Always
to lead us into the
first
weekend.
Date, you dumbasses.
Yeah, and again,
and the second and third.
No, here's the thing. And again, when I say men should, it's so not a moral obligation. It's all about strategy.
Yeah.
You know, you both took the time. You took the time as a man to shower, get ready, drive over there to kind of increase your chances of getting laid, at least at some point.
Are we supposed to shower first?
You should wash your balls.
Oh, shit.
You should. And you do all those things. And then if the woman pays, it's like you did all that shit for nothing.
Right.
You did all that shit for nothing. So as a strategy, if you're trying to woo a woman, which I imagine is the point, unless you really don't, unless she's a fucking gargoyle or something, and you're like, please, you owe me money, bitch.
Right.
You catfish the shit out of me. Unless, you know, that's a rare case. But otherwise, if you're trying to woo a woman, pay for her on the first date.
Fuck, there's no question.
It sets a fucking weird tone. I was in a funk. I literally, and you know how I am, I have an obsessive compulsive disorder. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no.
And I had a loop going on in my head about, did I just pay? To the point where I couldn't even, concentrate on the conversation.
And on the same token, women, offer to pay.
Yes. Do the dance.
Do the dance.
Which is what I did, but then I got shafted.
But you know what, though? As much as that sucks, at least you learned right then, fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah. It was, I've honestly, I don't remember the last time where a guy let me pay on the first date. Even the date that I had been on prior with the ghosting Willie dude.
Yeah.
I gave my card to hold the tab. And when the bill came, he said, made a point to tell the bartender.
Yeah.
Do not run her card.
Yeah.
That's just holding the tab. Come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
It was very gentlemanly.
Yeah,
it softens the bitch up. She goes, oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
So nice. Not that he got late, but anyhow. Have a great weekend. We got a Bubba 199 tonight.
We do.
Make sure you tune in 8 to 10 p.m. I think it's me, J-Wags, and Bubba. It's going to be kind of like a trio soundtrack.
When did he put a J in his name?
Just Wags?
Just Wags.
I think J-Wags is a bar by my house.
Oh.
On 4th Street.
Now he's a bar.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you on the other side. We'll catch you tonight, okay?
Tonight. Yeah, tonight.
All right, tonight. Bubba 199. Bye.